I'm going to be reading verse 12 through 19. Our focus today will be on verse 15. 1 Peter 4, starting with verse 12. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Let's pray. This glorious God and Father, I ask this morning that you would strengthen us, that you would allow each one of us to take a hard look at ourselves this morning, to allow the Word of God to convict us, to bear witness in us in such a way, Father, that we would be able to see the sin of our heart, the sin of our minds, and the sin of our mouths, and even, Father, the sin of our eyes. That, Father, we would learn that we would live according to your will, to your glory, that we would commend ourselves to you who is trustworthy, and that, Father, we would not, in our own lives, blaspheme the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would edify us and build us up, that we would know that within all the sin that we deal with, you have given us the remedy. You have given us the relief and the redemption through Christ. May we ponder these things today, Father. Be overjoyed by your word that corrects us and brings goodness that we may glorify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We live in such a society today. There are no new sins that pervade us today. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything that we struggle with has been struggled since the beginning of the fall. And yet we live in a culture, a time that is extremely unique in anything that has ever been seen in the history of the world. We live in a time, a culture of voyeurs, a culture of exhibitionists. We thrive for the drama that is in everybody's lives. We find that everything that is out there about everybody else is something we want to run into. We want to grab hold of it. And it becomes a huge distraction. And yet, in this culture, it is the norm. It is the way that we should live our lives. We live in a time of social media frenzies. Now, I bring it up this way because it is a huge problem. And it creates a culture. Because what has happened is when we look at what social media has become. I am not saying that social media in and of itself is sinful. The problem with it is you are. And therefore, we gravitate to it in a specific way. And we look at it as though this is normal. This is the way of life. And so each and every one of us have become voyeurs into everybody else's lives. And we've been invited to do so. But not only have we become voyeurs, but we feel like we need to post everything about our lives so the whole world can know it, and therefore we have also become exhibitionists. What each one of us needs to understand about this, both of those are sin. Both of them are extremely sinful. But our culture trains us to live this way. And the reality is everybody walks around like this. They, oh my gosh, did you hear about so-and-so? We run after it. We set our phones so that we can make sure that when someone wants to tell us what they ate for dinner, we'll know about it. Now, we sit here and smile. We sit here and snicker about it. But we don't think about the seriousness of this issue. Because it pervades this culture and it pervades the church. It has caused us to think unrightly about how we consider our relationship. And more importantly, it teaches us that we don't have to mind our own business. After all, haven't I been invited in? And think of the drama. The drama. I hear it all the time. Oh, did you see what is happening? So did you see this? And all of a sudden, we're worked up over something that's none of our business. We have become a nation of busybodies, a culture that thinks I have the right to know everything about everybody. And what we're going to learn this morning is the reason that we do this is because you don't know what your business is. And since you don't know what your business is, you're going to chase everybody else's business. And I promise you, you have been distracted from doing what God has commanded you to do. And you are literally engaging in things God commands you to stay away from. It is our culture. But it is not our culture. We are the church of the living God. We need to understand how to use technology. We need to understand how these things can be valuable. But we also need to learn how to close our eyes, how to put our fingers in our ears, how to remove ourselves from the presence of somebody else's business. Regardless of what the culture says, it's not our business. We have become a culture of busybodies. We have become a culture of gossipers. That is really all social media has become. It is. It has become nothing more than a format that is acceptable to look into other people's lives and then to comment on it. Regardless of whether someone invites you into it or not, regardless to what it is, regardless to what you think about it, it's not your business. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Being a busybody. How serious is this? How serious should we consider this idea of not minding our own business? How many relationships have you lost because you inquired into something or got yourself involved into something that was none of your business to begin with? How many times have you suffered in one way or another because you thought that was your business? No one wants to know what their own business is. Because quite frankly, if you know what your business is, you don't have time to be involved in everybody else's business. We'll see that in the way the Word of God presents it to us this morning. But first of all, I want us to look at 1 Peter 4:15. Now, we just read the entirety of 12 through 19. I want you to understand what's being said here, and I want you to look at the category that we're talking about. It's talking about suffering for the sake of Christ. It's talking about suffering for doing the will of God. But he tells us the name, but let none of you suffer. So in other words, when you commit these sins, you are going to suffer. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody. You're looking at that list and you're going, yeah, oh gosh, murderer, thief, evildoer, oh my goodness. But that list contains busybody. So I want you to look at it this way. When you stick your nose into somebody else's business, you might as well have murdered them. You might as well have stolen from them. You might as well have been involved, had the characteristics of an evildoer. So what do you think about that? That's how serious this is. Now, if you're sitting there this morning, you're looking at the person next to you, and you're going, yeah, you better look at yourself. This pervades the culture, and the culture corrupts. You need to be evaluating yourself right now. Do not think it's okay to put yourself into somebody else's business, even when they put it out there for the world to see. Just because somebody says, look at this, doesn't mean you should look at it. Oh, I could bring up a lot of examples and you'd agree with me. You would agree with me 100%. The problem is you only agree with those things that seem to be abominable to you. Well, you need to find out what's abominable to God. God says here that to be a busybody, to be running after other people's lives and trying to determine what they're doing is right or wrong, or what can I be involved in this, it's no different than being a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer. And you will suffer. I have watched this for years, even with people in this church, over the years, people have come to me and literally start talking about how hard things are and how they're suffering through these different things. And then to come to find out, it's about their involvement in someone else's business. And they suffer for it. You know how to stop suffering? Stop getting your nose into other people's business. It causes drama. It causes peace to be taken away. You need to be concerned about your own business. So that's the first thing I want you to recognize, is the category that this falls in is the same category as murder, theft, and being an evildoer. This is the same category. So as you're thinking this morning, and you're thinking about what you read on Facebook, you're thinking about what you searched for and all those different things that are going on, and you're wondering about all of that. It's not your business. Looking at 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. So this is what he starts this chapter out with. You need to abound more and more what you've received. So in other words, they've been taught how they ought to walk and to please God. That's what I'm doing this morning. I am teaching you how to walk. Because anytime you see that language, it means how you live your life. And so that's the beginning of this. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we have commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. So what I'm talking to you about is how to walk properly. Is your life in an upheaval all the time because you're always talking about something that's not your business? You're so worried about how somebody else is doing their life that you're not even examining your own, and you wonder why nothing's working, and your whole life is in a disarray. Your mind is just going overwhelmed. He says, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. What this means is that to lead a quiet life means to mind your own business. Now the problem is we tend to decide in our own minds what is our own business. And then we tend to compare ourselves to somebody else. Let me give you an example. So if I say this, and this is as a broad statement, so what's my business? You are. You're my business. So when I'm talking about minding my own business is to make sure of where you're at, to inquire about your lives. Is that your job? Is that your business? It's not your business. Because if my business says that is what I am called to do because of the office I hold, just because I involve myself in other people's lives in this church, it does not mean you're allowed to do that, because that's not your business. You're called to mind your own business. What's your business? It's not that. It's not that. So there's distinctions in what your business may be. A wife and a husband have different business. They need to know what their business is. Children have a different business. They need to know what their business is. Now, we've gone over a lot of this and other things we've gone through, and that's the point. What's your business? And you need to tend to your business, not somebody else's. Because here's the reality. When you're tending to somebody else's business, do you know what that means? You're not tending to yours. You see, especially you young people in this room, so much of what we see today in this society is foreign to me. I don't even understand it. It just drives me nuts because I'm going, this was not the norm. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Now, have people been busybodies for all of creation? Yeah. But today it is the cultural norm. It's a cultural norm. It has been trained into this culture. And everyone tends to embrace it. Because what it teaches you is this. You lose the discretion of where you should be and what you should be doing. If I am walking, okay, I'm your pastor, right? I'm your pastor. I have an obligation to inquire of your life. But if I'm walking through here and I see something that looks like a private conversation, do you know what I do? I avoid it. I don't even want to overhear it. And if I happen to be somewhere where I can actually overhear something happening, and I realize this is not a public conversation, I don't want to hear it. I remove myself from that place. Even if someone is talking about something that is private to them at the top of their lungs. Just because they are trying to make it public doesn't make it my business. You see, everybody thinks they're invited in. Does that make it your business? Here's the deal. John is going to be preaching next Sunday because I won't be here. Does that give him a position to step into my office and take on my responsibilities? Is that his business? No, it's not. Just because I've invited him here to present the Word of God, it does not mean, oh, I'm a temporary pastor. No, it doesn't. Just because somebody puts something out there doesn't mean it's yours to know. Doesn't mean you should be running after it, chasing it. And that's what we do. You need to learn how to use the technology we have in a proper way. We have good use of it. We have our band. It works great. We can share the information. I even had a conversation yesterday with the guys about that aspect. We need to be careful how we use it. Okay, it's not meant to be Facebook in the way everyone uses Facebook. It's meant mostly to share information about what we're doing as the church here, members of this church. All right, and so we're dealing with that. If we start adding all this and all this, all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen with that? The same thing that happens with Facebook and other things. Turn off your notifications. It's just another Facebook thing, blah, blah, blah. I don't even pay much attention to it anymore because somebody's just posting something that is really... So we don't utilize these tools in a godly way. We allow our sinful nature to draw us in, and therefore we become busybody. So we urge you to increase more and more that you lead quiet lives. To mind your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and you may lack nothing. So when we look at this, it's like when you don't mind your own business, you know what you're doing? You're stirring things up. I'm going to give you a very clear example of my work. I counsel people in this church. All right? I have had people come in and start talking about something that somebody else told them about what we're dealing with. Do you know what that did? They're invading my work. That's not their job. None of you in here have the job of shepherding anyone else. You are to be brothers and sisters. And yet everybody seems to think, I need to involve myself in this person's life so I can fix them. Show me in the Word of God whether it calls in the general sense of the church to fix somebody else. It tells us to love one another. It tells us to admonish, to encourage. It never tells you to take on a role that doesn't belong to you, but you don't know your role. And you think if that's what's good for one person, it must be good for us all. Well, that's not the way it works. It stirs up strife. So if I was to ask anyone in this room, how many of you feel like you have a quiet life? I don't think anyone in this room can literally just say, oh, my life is just so peaceful and quiet. Well, it's probably because you've involved yourself in stuff that's really not your business. You know, you may have concerns about certain people, so you pray about them. And that's good if you have a concern that you know about and you're going to pray for them. But when you start putting your nose into their business, that problem has now entered into your life, and now you are no longer living a peaceful life. And I will assure you that when you start sticking your nose into somebody else's business, it's going to get punched. They're going to get upset with you at some level. And your life is no longer peaceful. It is no longer quiet. It's amazing how we're supposed to be living quiet lives. I mean, look at the church today. Church is just all over the place, in an uproar. It's on TV. It's being involved in all this other stuff. That's not their business. And it's a jumbled mess. But we're called to live a quiet life, minding our own business. I know this seems foreign because that's not the way the world works. We have to hear the next big thing that's going on. We have to hear the next little thing that's going on. What are the Kardashians doing today? What stupid thing did Donald Trump say today? If that's where your focus is, you're not doing your job, which means your life is in upheaval and there is nothing quiet about it. You're being loud, boisterous. You're putting yourself out there where you shouldn't be. In 2 Thessalonians 3, which is what he's referring to in 4. For even if when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall they eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. You see, what is this telling you? They're not concerned about their business. They're concerned about everybody else's. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person. And do not keep company with them, that he may be ashamed. Yet, do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You know what this is telling you? If you have a brother or a sister that is a busybody, that is not minding their business, that is poking their nose into everything else, it says, just don't associate with that person. Do you know why? It's going to cause disorder. It's going to cause you to stumble into the same sin there. See, here's the thing. You know what this leads to? leads to gossip. Leads to being a talebearer. Nobody looks into somebody else's life and keeps it to themselves unless they're called to be involved in other people's lives to help them. Most people want to tell everybody else. And they cover it up with something holy and spiritual, but the reality is it's not your business. What's your business? If I was to inquire of each one of you right now, what's your business, and have you tell me what it is, can you do it? Have you looked into the Word of God where it directs, where it has the general as well as the particular direction for you in your position, in your roles, whatever it may be? What is your job? I don't want to know what you might be able to do. I want to know what God says your business is. Do you know that? Now, quite frankly, if you don't, you haven't been listening. I've preached many sermons that entail what our lives are supposed to look like. But I'm preaching today about what you need to exclude from your life. It's pretty easy to know when something's not your business. But the best way to know what's not your business is to know what your business is. And if that is not included in your business, that very clearly is not your business. Now, those who are such we command. Okay, let's see, where was I? And if anyone does not obey, so the point here is if you do not obey this word, this is to be obeyed. This is a command. All right? Work and keep your nose out of other people's business. Because here's the deal. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good habits. It corrupts good morals. It corrupts you. So when you lend an ear, see, this is the point. This is why I brought up social media. Because everyone gets on there and goes, I wonder what's happening here with this person. I wonder what's going on. And then you're getting engaged with that person. And then you start following the thread and you do all this. I've had people send me this stuff. See what's going on with them? That's not my business. And it's not yours. It's amazing how people go, I just don't have time. I don't have time. But then, if you look at their Facebook, you realize they have been sending comments and posting things all day long. You know, it's like I don't wonder about some of these pastors, okay? There are some pastors out there that are posting constantly. And I'm going, how are you doing your job if you're on Facebook all the time interacting with people all over the world instead of shepherding your flock? I have been called to shepherd the flock that is among me. It is not my concern about what some other congregation is doing. I'm not going to chase after how bad or good another congregation is. My task is here. Where's your task? What's your task? You can't mind your own business if you don't know what it is. And so think about who you're hanging out with. Is somebody telling tales? Why are you listening? How much do you know that if someone knew those things about you, you would be upset? Then that tells me it wasn't your business to listen to. It was not your business. Direct people where they need to go to get the help they need. It's not your business. You don't need, it goes on and on. It keeps telling you this. So in 1 Timothy 5:13, when speaking about young widows, all right, this is what it says in verse 13. When the text tells us early on not to put young women on the list of widows. Because they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Remember the category of all this. It falls in the category of murder. It falls in the category of theft. It is the action of an evildoer. I don't know how people have time to worry about everybody else. You wonder why you don't have time in your life. It's probably because you're too worried about everybody else. You're too worried about what. Do you guys ever wonder why you never see me post anything on Facebook? I don't have time. Very rarely do I even look at Facebook anymore. Because I found it being alluring. I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it. If I put my time into that, guess what? I don't have time for my business. But see, here's the point in all of this. So let's look at this. So here's one of those passages. See, women, they're gossips and busybodies. That's not really the context here. You know what causes this young widow to become a gossip and a busybody? Idle hands. That's what's causing it. And we see that in the other texts that we've seen, right? People aren't working at all and they become what? Busybodies. You see, when you're not minding your business, you're going to mind somebody else's. It's just logical. So, you know, let me give you an application that we're trying to work through right now in my family. My wife has finished homeschooling. I don't want her to be idle around the house. She doesn't want to be idle around the house. We're trying to find out things that she can be very active in because, quite frankly, even with the size of our house we're in right now, how long is it going to take her to keep that house? She's mastered it. She's been doing it for a long time. And quite frankly, at some point when Michael leaves, guess what? It's just me and her. We're going to make a huge mess everywhere. What is she going to do with her time? Should I just say, honey, just stay at home and relax? No, because idle hands produce sin. David was idle when he sinned with Bathsheba. He wasn't active in his business, and therefore he got involved in sin. Because my wife has said many times, I've got to be doing something, and she knows it. And so we're going to figure that out, exactly what it is that's going to keep her busy all the time. And so you got to think of it, because that is what happens. We see it with, it's not just women. It's men do the same thing. I see men who have doing nothing. And if you listen to them talk, they're talking about someone, something. They become busybodies. They become gossips with nothing to do. Minding your own business. Not minding your own business. People engage in other people's business and gossip about it. Telling tales is better than your own life. See, that's part of it. It's like, well, gee, I ain't got nothing to do, so I'm gonna engage in somebody else's life. I want to find out what they're doing. I'll just celebrate their life and stick my nose where it doesn't belong. Start meddling in things that are not yours. So when you go through the Word of God, there are two words that have to do with gossip. All right? In the New Testament, it translates gossip. In the Old Testament, it basically translates as talebearer. Okay? We're going off to tell. We're going to bear tales about things. I want you to listen how the Word of God talks about this.
A tellbearer reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter.
So everybody in here already knows that Julie is pregnant, right? Well, you may be surprised to know that she told us before she told all you guys. Okay, Samuel and Julie came to our house and surprised us with the news, right? So, do you know who we told? No one. Why? Because that's their news. That's their business. And why would I want to take that away from them? I'm going to keep it. I'm going to enjoy that news. I'm going to embrace it and love the idea that I'm going to have another grandchild. But that is not mine to tell. You see what I'm saying? I've been shared that information. That does not mean I have the right to share it. Now, if they ask me, can you tell so-and-so? Sure, we can do that for you. They have literally asked us to do something. But just because someone tells you something doesn't mean you're at liberty to tell anyone else because what they told you was their business. Stay out of it. It's not your business now. Are you following? This is important. You shall not go about, this is Leviticus 19. Okay, this is where the Ten Commandments are found. This is where so much of the law is being put forward. And listen to what it says. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. This is a command. You shall not carry tales. I want you to think about all this in light of murder and theft. Because it falls in the same category. It's so easy to get your lips moving. It is better. I should have wrote that proverb down. It's better to keep your mouth shut and be perceived a fool than to open it and prove it. That's what the Proverbs tell us. And most of us just want to talk. I'm jumping into this one. First of all, is it your business to jump into? Second of all, why is it so important you jump into it? And quite frankly, sometimes people jump into something that's not theirs, and they literally are impeding the job of someone else. You are actually preventing a person from doing their work to the glory of God. Because you decided you're going to get involved and you're going to take it over. You're going to do their work for them. Does that sound like that's something we should be doing? Well, of course not. Of course not. But we have to have our thinking rearranged. Because quite frankly, this world and the way it is right now, everything I'm talking about is absolutely foreign. It is. It's foreign. Everyone wants to know everything. You know, we've had gossip papers forever. The talk of the town. Right, Matthew? The talk of the town. There's evidently a Facebook page that's called The Talk of the Town. And I find that interesting. Why? Now, it's a Bartlesville page. It's supposed to tell you what's going on in Bartlesville. Matthew even made the point that it says, I mean, everyone starts saying all sorts. Well, the thing about it is most young people don't understand where that phrase came from. It's a derogative phrase. It was to speak of somebody in the town that you didn't want to say anything to it because they were the talk of the town. They would spread that everywhere. If you want something to be known, you know who to tell. They can't keep it. How do you want to be seen?
Do you want to be someone that you can have a trusted friendship with? Someone that can talk with? Nothing wrong with talking with each other, your brothers and sisters. You know, if you want to share something with your brother as a brother, or, you know, you can share those things. But I can promise you, if you're someone who's going to run to somebody else, and I mean anybody else, you will not be trusted. You'll be avoided like the passage tells you to do. Because they're going to tell somebody. Oh my gosh. They know? Great. Everyone's going to, that's exactly what goes through people's mind. Great. I didn't want people to know that. That's my business. Is that how you want to be seen? Think about it. You need to know what is your business and what's not your business. If you're listening to somebody else in a conversation somewhere, you automatically know that that's not your business. Stop listening. Stop it. I used to tell my kids that. They'd come up and want to know something that really wasn't their business. I said, you don't need to know that. You don't need to know that. And that does a couple things for them. First of all, it teaches them, stop putting your nose where it doesn't belong. Number two, it gives them a sense of realizing, okay, that dad's got it. Mom's got it. I'm good. I don't need to know that. And that's the problem that many of us face. We all think we need to know something. Why do you need to know it? It's shameful. It is truly shameful for us to do this. Proverbs 18. A fool's lips enters into contention, and the mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of the soul. Now stop there for a second. Are you following the context here? The mouth, what it does. And then he says in verse 8, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Because Proverbs 26 also uses the same rendering. Where there is no wood, this is 26:20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Do you know what that tells us? The strife that we have in this church at times is because somebody is not minding their business and they're telling everybody else about somebody else's business. You're out of order. It is ungodly. And you're falling into the same category as murder. And so you need to know your business. You also need to know others. So, for example, if I come to you and I sit you down and I say, I need to ask you some questions about somebody. That's my job. I am trying to find out something about someone who may be in jeopardy, that may be involved in sin that they need my help with, because that's my job. And so for you to tell me the things I'm asking is appropriate. You're not coming with tales. I am investigating something. I am trying to find out something so that I can do my job. Are you following the distinctions I'm making? Those are distinctions that we have to understand. So you have to know what is my job? What's your job? We don't do the same things. It's kind of like this. So let's take a company, for example. So you have a CEO in the company. So, what is the business of the CEO in that company? Everything. Everything about that company, including the employees, are his business. Now, you're an employee. You're a janitor. Do you have the same right to see him as your business as he has for you? No, you don't. You don't have the right to go into the boardroom, sit down as the janitor, and be involved in what that man's job is. You don't have the right to tell him what to do. It's not your business. But we live in a world that says, no, we're all the same. Which means, whatever I want to know about you is my business. Whatever you can do, I can do. That's not how the world works. That's not how God says the world works. Why can't I have a baby? Because I'm a man. I can't have a baby. Well, how is that fair? Because it's the reality of creation. It's not equal. And that's how you know you need to mind your own business. Because if it's all equal, then everybody's business is everybody's business. It's not. Let's go back into this passage now. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of the soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Now, this passage, all right, this is a difficult verse, both Proverbs 18 and Proverbs 26. The translation here, I just don't understand it, okay? And if you look at different translations, you see it being somewhat talked about in this way of tasty morsels, but it actually translates as the words of a talebearer are wounds. I don't know. I don't understand it. But that's where the Greek actually goes, or the Hebrew actually goes. So I'm not sure what's missing and why so many translate. I mean, they translate it both ways, depending upon the translation you're looking at. But the point is, I think, that I want us to make sure we understand is it goes down to the innermost body. So we can look at it in both directions. First of all, it is tasty morsels. Ooh, what's the latest gossip, man? I need to hear about Betty Jo down the street. What's she into today? Ooh, I can't wait to hear this. The other part is, when you're carrying tales, you cause Betty Jo wounds. And they go down to the most inner part. You wound a brother. You wound a sister. And it goes to the most inner part of their being when you talk about them. When you spread tales about them. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Because that's been one of the things that I've heard some people say. Yeah, but it's not a lie. How is it gossip? No, it doesn't matter whether it's true or lie. If you're telling stories about somebody else, you are a talebearer. If it's true, you still don't have the business telling other people about it. You don't have the business knowing about it, actually. Because so much information people gather, they glean from what they overhear, they glean it from somebody else, secondhand. Instead of saying, that's not my business. Stop telling me that. I don't want to know. There are so many people I couldn't stop fast enough that wanted to tell me something. Now I know things that I wish I'd never known about them. Couldn't stop them fast enough. Why do I need to know that? Why do you need to know somebody else's business when you can't even take care of your own? Because that's everything that's being talked about in these passages. You are being idle to your own business when you are involved in somebody else's business, when you're meddling in their life.
You better take care of your own life. This is the point of it all. This one goes on to say the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to the innermost body. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered in silver dross. You understand what they're saying, right? They present something to someone that is the appearance of silver, but it's just clay which will break if you drop it. That's what gossip is like. That's what being a talebearer is. People see that as, oh, this is beautiful, but it's going to shatter somebody. It's going to cause you drama. I see it all the time, and even in this church, I see people all the time getting involved in somebody else's affairs. They get involved and being concerned and being worried, and you don't even have your life where it needs to be. Clean your own house up. Clean it up. Don't try to clean up somebody else's. Clean up your own house. Mind your business. Because that's what that word means. Minding your business means you're tending to your business and not intruding upon somebody else's. That's their business. I mean, how many times do people hear somebody talking about something and they decide they should interject their opinion about it? Did they ask you for your opinion? Did they? Why are you interjecting anything? What they want to do with it, where they want to go with it, is their business. Maybe they'll make a mistake. That's their mistake. I'm not talking about being a brother and sister and being there for each other when you see sin and you're trying to admonish someone. But to interject into something that somebody else is talking about to somebody else and put your two cents into it is evil. It's evil. Okay? Evil. Hey, there has been times in this church where this situation of gossip, busybodies, and meddling have been extremely over the top. This congregation. There was a time where it was really bad with some of the people that were here. Now, I'm not saying it's all gone. I'm just saying there was a time when it was severe. As a matter of fact, let me make a point here. We ask questions about why are we so small. Do you know one of the reasons? Because of other churches' gossip about us. I've had it come back to me. I've had questions. Other people in this congregation had questions from people from other churches that weren't even true. From people who were here before. And they damage this church because they spread rumors. And quite frankly, sometimes some of the people from this church get involved with those people. Well, the Word of God says don't. They're spreading tales. And then they don't even, matter of fact, I should have kept that one in here. There's a passage that talks about that. Somebody who tells tales. That when you're around them, they will smile with a golden smile and act like everything's just fine. But they will tear you down when you're not there. This is, it's all over the place. And that's why I'm bringing this up today. Because this is pervasive throughout the culture and even throughout the churches. And it is heart-wrenching. Why would you do this?
Paul suffered it. People speaking lies about him. But we are the children of God. We are to live orderly lives. We are to mind our business. If you have time to be involved in somebody else's business, I'm pretty sure you're not minding your business. I'm pretty sure you're not accomplishing what you need to be doing in your everyday life. So one of the first things I would recommend to you is if you struggle with social media in the aspect that you always have to know everything every day, you're always following somebody, you're chasing the dings, you're just constantly, just get off of Facebook. Because you're involved in gossip. You're involved in somebody else's business. It really is that clear. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Facebook can be wonderful. I mean, I've got relatives that I never have never seen. They share things that are going on with their family. That's wonderful. I can see someone growing up. That's wonderful. But, man, it gets worse than that. Even they can get... I don't want to know about that. I don't care. Can you say that? I don't care. There's a place for I don't care. I don't care about that. It's not my business. You're given things to care about. Chase those things. Care about what God has given you as your business. And stop interfering with other people's business. It's no different than murder. Theft. It makes you an evildoer. You see, this is so important because the world around us just beats at us. It wants us. Sin just wants to take us down. And boy, what an easy way this is when something that is so evil is being promoted every day, everywhere, as a way of life, and we didn't even catch it. You know how often I hear those words from people? Oh, did you hear about? Do I need to know this? Is this really my business? Is it really your business? And if someone told you that in confidence, why are you telling me? It's not your business to tell me that. You see, do we think like that? Do we realize that we have an atmosphere that just says, oh, that's fine. It's fine until someone gets mad, but that tells you it wasn't fine. Or they wouldn't have gotten mad. Are you following all of this? If you have more questions about all this, I'll be so happy to sit down and talk with you. The specifics. To help you understand this. And it's really not all that difficult. But when we have this around us, that just continually beats us and beats us and beats us, guess what? It becomes hard. We've been geared a certain way, and now we got to change those gears. We have a perspective of what things should be, and we got to change that perspective. But I would guess that probably no one in this room has ever thought about being a busybody, being a tellbearer, falling into the same categories as murder and theft. And the Word of God says, thou shalt not kill. This is why there's no peace today, guys. This is a big reason for it. Everything's a drama. It's a drama. Stop making big deals out of things and stop making big deals out of other people's business. I know it's easy when we're talking about other people and we're looking at their lives. You don't have to look at yours anymore. And quite frankly, another reason we do that is if I'm busy trying to look at somebody else and say, oh my gosh, look at them. They're doing this. They're saying, oh my gosh, this is what they're doing. You know what you're not doing? You're avoiding your own sins. Oh, I don't do that one over there. So, man, look how holy I am. But guess what? The fact that you're looking at them and you're making them your business, you just automatically showed how you are missing the boat. Now, I know this sermon today sounds a whole lot different than the last few sermons I've preached. But the reality is what I am talking about today is what we should be considering if everything I've said in every other sermon is true about what God has done for us and the fact that we have been rescued from our sin, that the guilt of it has been taken away and glory is set before us, then it is reasonable and it is necessary for us to understand what these things that we do by our nature need to be put away. And so you got to examine yourselves. You need to examine how you handle your phone. I'm not telling you to throw your phone away. This is a very useful tool. See, I came from a generation, I know most of you in here can't even fathom the idea of not having a phone in your pocket. I came from an era of time when there wasn't even pagers. If I wanted to talk to my wife during the day, I had to find a payphone somewhere and then hope that I had a dime or a quarter, whatever the price was at the time I was going to call her. And then she couldn't get a hold of me at all. She'd have to call the office and then send someone out to the job site. Matter of fact, that happened one time, didn't it? With one of the kids. One of the kids were sick or something. She couldn't get a hold of me. She had to call the office. The office radioed in on my radio in the truck. And I had to go through all that. There was no handheld distraction. What a useful tool we have, but the problem is we walk around like this. I see it in this church. We're in the middle of Sunday school, we're in the middle of service, and someone's down there. Maybe you're looking at the Bible, maybe you're not. I can't tell. A ding goes off. Ooh, let's see what's happening. Oh, I forgot I'm in the middle of service. That can't wait. And there was a time we didn't even have the opportunity. If there was a message I needed to get, I wouldn't get it until someone found me or I got home and something. Why all of a sudden is it necessary that we know everything right now and we know everything about everybody? We are being trained by our culture to be voyeurs and exhibitionists. And we are to be neither. We are to be neither. We are to cover those things. Cover them. Those things that are embarrassing. To cover those things that take us, that bring dishonor. Or to cover those things for one another. Not spread them. Not make use of them for our own profit. We need to live peaceful and quiet lives, working with our hands, staying busy with the tasks that God has given us. You guys, and everybody, I say you guys because you're the ones I'm talking to, you need to find out what your business is. What are you supposed to be doing? Now mind that business. Keep your mind on that business. Focus on what God has said. This is your primary task in life. This is your task. Forget about everything else that you think you might want to do. Forget about everything else you think you can do. You find out what God says you are to do. That's your business. Because if you're not doing that, then nothing else. You shouldn't even think about anything else. Mind your business. Don't spread gossip. Don't inquire about things that's not yours to know. And don't manipulate the conversations. I'm here for you if you want to tell me something. I promise you, if someone wants to talk to you personally, they will come talk to you. And if you think you have to coax them to talk to you, there may be a reason they're not wanting to talk to you. Keep it in mind. They're afraid that you know, everybody else know. Or at least it's going to go from that person to somebody they know they're going to tell. So you need to deal with this because the world, the culture is driving hard to pull you away from what God says is proper and beautiful. And it's all in relationship to the work that He's done through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, we do praise You. We thank You, Lord, for this day and for Your Word as it directs us and tells us to mind our business, to keep our mouths shut, that we, Father, we may glorify You and actually be a blessing to those around us. Help us, Father, to be those that are trustworthy with words, that we can have confidence in being brothers and sisters and sharing things with individuals, knowing that, Father, those things won't go any further. And also keeping our mind out of the things that aren't our business, that we have no right to know. Strengthen us, Father, in this, because it is a very difficult task, especially in this time where it is the norm of the culture. I pray, Father, You would let us glorify You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.